Amen. Well, take your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. This will be our last message on this sort of like short series we've done around prayer in the Gospel of Luke. There's several more we could look at, but I thought we would tonight wrap this up. We've been studying on prayer, and so as we do that, we will next week, Brother Richard will be preaching, and so you don't want to miss that. That'll be great. I will be here. I've just asked him to preach because I'm moving that day, and I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, and so I'm supposed to close in both places, and so we're just that's all happening next week. Yeah, hey, we're good. One person's excited about that. So, all right, honeymoon's over. Amen. No, So I was like, hey, Richard's gonna, he's gonna fill the pulpit. I'll be here with you though, unless something crazy happens. But in Luke chapter 11, this is really where this series sort of started. Was here where Jesus is with his disciples, and they are like, we see that there's a difference in your life, and we want what you've got, and we notice that it revolves around prayer. And so they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And then we have what's called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, and we have it in the Gospels, and that's here. But I want to look at really one aspect in this tonight. And we're going to look at a lot of this chapter 11, several verses. And I believe that the truth we're going to unpack is really transformative. It has been for me. And I believe it will be transformative for you as well in your relationship with God, what you think about God and how He loves you, and also how you approach Him in prayer, how you pray and are encouraged in prayer. And we see it in what Jesus says in the first line here of the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, but it says, He was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And so Jesus said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father. Say, Father. And the main idea of tonight's study is on that name, that truth, that God is our Father. And so what Jesus said, listen, when you pray, say, Father. Have you ever considered, you know, sometimes we just get so used to prayer, and there's sort of a lingo to prayer. There's like, some language we just kind of get, it's redundant, and we say things and we don't even think about what we're saying. It's just kind of part of what we do when we pray. And one of the things we do is we typically address God as Father, and we should, Jesus said to. But there's some deep meaning in that. That if we're not careful, we lose sight of the fact that God really is our Heavenly Father. And because of that, that changes things for us. And so I'm so thankful Brother Steve did this. I didn't think about it before I called on you to pray, but I'm so thankful that he when he prayed, not only did he talk about our Father, but he also talked about Jesus, and he closed his prayer with in Jesus' name we pray. And I'm just going to tell you, just so you know, I'm always looking for who's going to use Jesus' name when they pray, because I just believe when we pray, people need to know who we're praying to, and we're praying to the Lord. We know God is Trinity, and we have one God and three persons, and Jesus said that when we pray, we're to pray in the name of Jesus. And so what we know when we pray, we talk up, we address our Father, We pray in Jesus' name. And then, of course, you know this, we're also praying through the Spirit of God. We're praying through the Spirit in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus, when he tells his disciples, he says, when you pray, what should you do? Say, Father. Say, Father. And I think when we really come back to that elementary truth that God is our Father, and listen to me, we are his children. Okay, just remind yourself of that tonight. I'm not telling you this. This is what God tells us. This is what his word tells us. You are a child of God. If you have trusted in Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. You've been purchased with a price. You are a child of God. So this is not like words we use when we pray. No, there's a reality in this. Jesus says we say Father because why? He is Father and he is our Father. And so when we pray, we say Father. Now, some of us have had really good fathers. I would count myself as one of those. But others have had not so good fathers. And maybe you're in this room tonight, and that's your life. And you sit here and you're saying, my experience with a father, it wasn't a good one. Or you think to yourself that you have... you don't even know who your father was or is. You had an absent father. And so whatever the case may be, when we think about all of these truths, we must remember that regardless of our experience here, we know that God is the good and perfect Father. He's the good and perfect Father who loves us unconditionally. He cares for you. He always does what's best for you. As God, our Father, he is all powerful. He is sovereign. He holds the entire world in the palm of his hand, and he yet is intimately involved in your life. Well, that's a lot to think about. But that's who we are addressing. That's who we're approaching. That's who we're talking to. That's who we're communicating with when we go to God in prayer and we say, Father. I mean, if you think about it like maybe the President of the United States. And maybe imagine you were fortunate enough that your father was President of the United States. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? Well, what would make that so wonderful? Well, what would make it so wonderful is you would know, man, he's got a lot of resources. You know, he has a lot of pull. He has a lot of weight. You would say, essentially, man, my dad's the most powerful man in the United States of America. And so if I need something, guess what? I'm going to get the best because I'm going to go to my dad who's the president. And he's going to make sure I get the best. If I need some help, I'm going to get the most help. I'm going to get the best help because, well, he's the president. And it'd be wonderful because you think about this. You know, I've never picked up the phone and called the president of the United States. Anybody in here ever done that? Somebody might maybe have that kind of pull. I've never picked up the phone and called the President of the United States because I don't have that kind of access. And you know what? Very few people do have that kind of access. You know who does have that access? The President's children. I guarantee you the children of the President can pick up the phone and call their dad anytime they want, and they're going to get him on the line. And everything else is going to get bypassed. And I can only imagine that sometimes the president's in some major meetings with some dignitaries of the world, but when his children call, he says, wait a second, I need to take this. Okay? And here's the reality. A good father would do that. And maybe some of you had that kind of earthly father. You're like, you know what, man, I could call my dad anytime. It didn't matter. He was never gonna put me on the back burner and say, well, I'm too busy. Call back some other time. No, he had stopped what he was doing. He had picked up the phone and he had talked to me. But here's the reality. Understand something. Our God, who is our Heavenly Father, is the sovereign of the world, of the universe. He is all powerful. He's in control of it all, and we have direct access to Him at any time. We are not just any type of person that talks to Him, but here's what Jesus is saying. You're a child of Him. You're a child of God. He is your Father. We have more than just access to God. We have more than just a generic relationship with God. God is your Father through Jesus Christ. You are His child. And so Jesus goes on and talks about the Lord's Prayer. When I want to drop on down to verse 5, because what Jesus does is He tells a parable that I think when we get to the very end, it helps us understand how important and powerful it is for us to know that when we pray, we're praying to our Heavenly Father, and how that transforms our life. So let's look at this parable in verse 5. He also said to them, suppose one of you had a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. You see what we have happening here in this parable is Jesus, after talking and teaching his disciples, hey, this is how you pray, say Father. He then gives them really this illustration. He gives them this story, and he says, like, suppose that that this guy, he needs some help. And it's the middle of the night, it's the midnight hour, and he has some people out of nowhere drop by his house from out of town, and hospitality is a huge thing in the first century in Palestine. Here with the Jewish people, hospitality is a huge thing, and if you can't be hospitable to some guest that's shown up randomly at your house, then, man, it just looks really bad on you. And this guest came, and, man, he didn't have anything he needed to be hospitable and help this person that came by looking for help. And so he says, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I know who will help me. I'll go to my friend. Do you have a friend like that? You probably have a friend like that. I have friends like that. Not everybody will just drop what they're doing and help you. There's not everybody you can call in the middle of the night and they're going to come help you when you're messed up. You've got somebody that if you were out and about and it was late at night and your car broke down, you've got a friend you could call, and you know, hey, they'll come. Why? Because they're your friend. I mean, we're talking about a real friend here. And so that's what this guy does. He goes to his real friend. He goes to his friend and he knocks on the door and it's midnight. Well, this friend's like me. He yelled out the door and said, it's midnight. I'm not getting up and helping you. Go home. But he kept knocking and he kept, hey, I need some help. I need some bread. I need to be hospitable. And what Jesus says, because of this friend's persistence, he kept knocking. It says eventually the guy said, you know what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to help him. And he gets up and he helps him and he gives him what he needs. A few of the things that we learned from this is, number one, The man knew where to go when he needed help. He went to his friend. And I know oftentimes, and this is fine, he is. God is our friend, but he's more than our friend. He's our Father. And we need to understand who it is that we need to go to with everything, and that there's nothing we can't go to God with. And we need to understand that we should approach God, our Father, for this reason, because he is our Heavenly Father. I know that's kind of a simple, generic point you have there in your bulletin tonight, but that's the truth. Approach your Father in heaven because of who he is. He is your Heavenly Father. Don't forget it. We also know that this, because he was a friend, when he went to him, with, it says right here, shameless boldness. He was a friend, so he wasn't ashamed to ask. He wasn't ashamed to keep asking. He went to his friend with boldness. Why? Because he was his friend. And what Jesus, one of the things Jesus is reminding us, and we even learned this in Hebrews, where it says, approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, right? And here Jesus is saying, listen, go to your Father with boldness. You know that's how kids go to their dad. They go to their dads with boldness because it's your dad. You know your dad loves you. Your dad knows you love him. And so you go with that shameless boldness. We know that as kids with our own parents and as parents with kids. I mean, I experience it every single day. I experience every single night at bedtime. I mean, I experience it all day long, basically. And it's just, man, kids will, they will ask. And you don't respond. Or I don't respond. And they keep asking. And you still might not respond. And they keep asking. And they keep asking. And then finally, they have candy and they're sitting in front of the TV because you give them what they wanted, right? I mean, because but they come with this just shameless boldness. We know what that's like. We've experienced that. But now, I want you to know, because if we're not careful, we'll misunderstand kind of what's happening here. Unfortunately, sometimes for me, I don't respond to my kids just because I'm being lazy. I know that's not you. But sometimes that's what I do. Or sometimes I don't respond to my kids because in my mind I feel like I'm unavailable at that moment. Or I'm just, I mean, this is sad, but sometimes, you know, you just ignore somebody, you know, you just ignore them. I don't know why we would do that, but we do, right? Just part of who we are and our sinful nature. But here's the deal, that's not how God is. And so we don't go to God and we're not persistent in prayer because God's ignoring us and we're trying to get through to him. That's not what he's telling us here. We don't go to God and we keep praying because God is lazy and he just is lazy at the moment, or he's at sleep because the Bible tells us he never slumbers. It's none of those reasons. God is not in the ignoring business, and we don't go to God or keep going because just he's unavailable. He's always available to us. So I want you to understand that. And at the end, I'm going to try to help us understand why Jesus calls us to persistence in prayer. And I'm going to try to help us understand why we must keep going to him in prayer, okay? When we're like, well, why isn't he answering? And why do I need to keep going to him in prayer? We'll get to that at the very, very end, and we'll explain that. But I wanted you to understand that it's not any of those reasons that I just told you. And so we come to our Father with boldness, And here, the friend gave him everything he needed. But now let's keep reading. Let's pick back up in verse 9, and it says, he gave him everything he needs. And so Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Wow. I mean, what a powerful promise and statement from Jesus to us when it comes to prayer. He says, pray to your Father, pray with persistence. And in the original language here, just so you understand, here's what it literally says. It says this, keep asking. That's what the language here is. It's not like ask one, it's keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And it says, the one who keeps asking, keeps seeking, keeps knocking. It says in verse 10, the one who keeps asking receives. The one who keeps seeking finds. The one who keeps knocking, the door will be opened. And so Jesus is in this parable and in this teaching, he is teaching us to pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. In verse 11 through 13, I think just brings it all together, and this is where we're going to wrap up. He says, What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Man, this is just so powerful. So powerful. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, let's just stop. Let's just stop for a moment and think about this. I mean, even the worst fathers, it's hard to fathom that they would do what Jesus says right here. Even the worst fathers here on this earth. That if their child came to them and said, hey, can I have a fish? Would give them a snake that would be venomous and that would bite them and harm them and potentially kill them. He said, what father among you? What father in this room right here tonight, if your child came and asked you for something, you would then give them something that was going to hurt them and harm them? There's not a single man in this room would say, yeah, I would do that. He says, or ask for an egg and we'll give him a scorpion. Right? No father in here, no mother in here would give something to one of your children that was going to hurt them and harm them and be detrimental to them. We wouldn't do that. We don't want to do that. Why? We want what's best for our kids. Now, we always don't know what's best. So here's what he says. Look at it, verse 13. If you then, all right, before you start thinking too highly of yourself, look, if you then who are evil, all right, we're sinful people. We're not God. We're sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. And he says, and you, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's Christmas, Tom. You're probably like me. Maybe. I love giving gifts to my kids. I just love it. I love giving gifts to Chelsea. They'll ask me what I want. I never have an idea of what I want. I'm just like, I don't think that way. My in-laws ask, yeah, give me your Christmas list. I never give them a Christmas list. I like giving my kids gifts. It's fun. I love it. I love to see the joy on their face. I love to bless them. I love to encourage them. I love for them thinking great things about me and wanting to hug me and be around me. There's something, and you know what I'm talking about. You love giving gifts to your kids. We love giving gifts to our children. And yet, here we are, and it says, you who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, think about it, how much more? Do you hear me? This is what the scripture says. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to you who ask Him? And what's the greatest gift? What's the greatest gift the Heavenly Father can give to you? Amen. You read ahead. You read the verse, didn't you? That's right. Miss Robbie got it. He gives us more of Himself. He gives us more of Him, more of God, a closer, greater, stronger relationship with the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. And as we have more of God, as we receive the Holy Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit and God, He loves us as His kids. Listen, it helps us to know that when we pray, God answers our prayer and we can trust Him with His answer. Now, His answer may be different than the answer we were hoping for, but let's remember, He says, if you know how to do what's best for your kids and your evil, if you give good gifts to your kids but you're evil, how much more does God love you? Don't you know God loves you more than your earthly father does or did? He does. Have you ever considered God loves you more than you love yourself? And I'm looking at you. You love yourself. I can tell. He loves you more than you love yourself. God loves us, and it's unfathomable, His love He has for us. And He's our Heavenly Father. So Jesus is reminding us, and I just think this transforms our relationship with God and the way we pray and talk and communicate to Him, is next time you pray, please go into that prayer and remember this truth. You are going before God like a child goes before his father. Think about that. That's how God desires for you to approach Him. Like a child with that shameless boldness, that hope, that expectancy, the joy of going up and talking to a father that you know loves you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is so wonderful tonight to remember and to know that we're your children. And God, that those aren't just words we say, but they're the truth and it's the reality. Lord, thank you for the fathers we have or had. But God, thank you most of all for being our good and perfect Heavenly Father. Help us to leave here tonight knowing that the way you desire us to approach you is like a child to his Father. Thank you, God, for always being available, always being attentive, always doing what's best and good for us as your children. And God, we ask that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit, because we know the greatest thing that we have on this earth is we have you. Bless our church, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here, and God bless you. Choir, have fun getting ready for Sunday night.